Blog Talk Radio.
Planning and insurance. Immediate annuity. Retirees, rollover.
Vitamin Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Vitamin Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.vitaminassociatesinsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660. Or 301-234-9090.
Okay, my mics are open. Can anyone hear me? Callers, can you hear me? I have three or four different states and I'm looking at. Can you hear me? Again, can you hear me? If anyone can hear me, I will ask for you to respond. Okay, if anyone can hear me, please give me a response because my direct connect is off again. So we're going through the telephone. So can you hear me at all? Oh, my. This thing really irks me when it's
loud.
Right. Yes. Okay, I can hear you.
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, all right. I'm opening up all of the mics. We got several. Can anyone else hear me other than Ms. Juan? Can anyone else hear me? I know I have at least four or five different states on. I'm looking at you. I can see your numbers, but I need to know that you can hear me because my direct connect is not working again. Yes, go right ahead. Go right ahead. I don't have anyone on you, so you should be able to speak. Ms. Warner, I know I have you on, but I don't know who else we have on. Trying to get what kind of communications we have here. All of the mics are open. If you can hear me, please give me a response so I can hear you. Okay. I don't know what's happening again. again. I do not know what's happening. They did say they're having some more terrible storms out there, but I just don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I know Oklahoma is under strong alert.
Oh, yeah, they was telling me all over the Midwest they are catching it pretty hard tonight. It's going to all through Oklahoma and Texas and several different months. So it's pretty tough out there. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's something that's causing my direct connect to be out of order. But because I do, I see where, like I said, I have all the channels. I have all the, everyone who's calling, who I can see is calling in. I have their mic, I have them off of mute. So if anyone can hear me, I would appreciate a response. That way I know we are communicating with each other. And I've switched over to the telephone. Because my direct connect has been knocked out. Let me go back to so again, if you can hear me, I appreciate a response. If not, I don't know what kind of communications we're getting. I just don't know. Let me see if I can take a if the station breaks, if we can even do a station break. Oh, let me see. Let me see if this is.
Bynum & Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Bynum & Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.BynumAssociatesInsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090.
Okay, well, our station is on, so again, if you can hear me, I can hear you. So, Miss Swan, I did read the article that you put out. Very interesting. Very interesting article.
It'll be a book that it'll be turned into a book to help the education world know how they can have a curriculum in black history, not just African American history, but the entire thing from Africa up to our present. So that's going to be turned into a curriculum that we talked about.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, because I was reading it, and you know, I took and got a lot more confirmation when you were talking about the subject of the African peoples being the original. There's no ifs and ands about that. History guarantees, history shows that. And it goes way beyond anything that has to do anything about religious. We was into a discussion. And in this discussion, you had Jewish speakers, and one of the Jewish speakers was African, and the other Jewish representative was from Israel, or he represented Israel and the Jewish community here in the United States. And rather than get into the entire episode, it was very interesting, but he did say that I found extremely extremely interesting when you start talking about religious, and then you start talking about Hebrews, and they say, and there's an African His descendants go as his descendants as far as being a Jewish a person. His descendants goes all the way back. You can prove his descendants all the way back to Moses, back to Aaron. I said, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, like you said, even though his descendants can go all the way back to Moses and Aaron, that has nothing to do with the Hebrews. The Hebrews can go all the way back to Cush.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning of the so-called Africa. And I said, you know, so that just about sealed the key for me right there.
Mm-hmm.
Just about sealed it. I said, yeah, well, from what you guys were talking about, you it's the teachers. And so there's a lot of education, a lot of reading that we need to do. We need to do as a peoples, because our history is so goes back so far. And our being caught up as slaves was just a part of a very, very long history. Very long history. But real continuation of that history is no doubt about it.
And we have to make sure that it is a separate curriculum, not something that is going to be mingled in with just the regular classroom study, because that's an impossible thing to do, because it's only fair that if you start saying we want to hear a little bit about Africa and then African-Americans, and we want to hear a little about Chinese-Americans and Anglo-Americans and Mexicans. If you blend it like that and say that you're teaching history, that's not teaching history. That's just throwing out facts on different people without making attention being paid to one specific group, and then another group can do theirs. But in order to get to know people, you have to know them from beginning until up to now, not just say, oh, here's the facts about Asians, here's the facts about African Americans, here's the facts about Europeans. That's not showing a picture. And so that's why I said we have to have a curriculum, no matter how small it is, no matter how few join in. The idea of, for example, that idea of critical race theory, that is a very dangerous approach in my estimation. And I shared that with some people today, because we should never theorize African American and African history. We are not a theory. We are a fact. And when you start approaching our history as a theory, then later on, when we're all off this earth, the young people and subsequent generations will wonder if we really existed, because we're approaching our studies from a false premise. We are a critical race theory. Where did this word theory come from? Nobody else calls this so. I don't know any Asians who call their history a theory. I don't know any Jew people who call themselves a theory. I don't know any Europeans who call their history a theory. I don't know any Latinas who call their history a theory. What is this idea of a theory? Why are you theorizing blacks? Teach facts. Teach history. I hope I'm making sense. I don't like that term, theory. Where did it come from?
Well, that's what I mean about Ms. Suave when I say we have to teach our own story.
Yeah.
Not only African Americans, but even Africans have to teach their own story, because there has been many false, and it's been these false theories about African Americans and Africans has been going on for a long time. And that's because they don't, they seem to black out, block off our being able to tell our own story, or teach our own story. So,
how could so somebody else. Yeah, exactly. How can some? If I could, you and I could never tell the Asian story. We cannot tell the American Indian or Native American story. We can't tell the Latina story. We can't tell the European story. So why would people say all of a sudden we can tell your story? That's impossible. You haven't experienced it. You're not living it day by day. So why would we turn over our story to somebody else to put it into a theory of all things?
Again, I think the question is, when haven't our story been taken away from us and told by someone else? As a matter of fact, you know, it was very dangerous for us to try to tell our story at one time. So telling our story is just something that just wasn't permissible, as far as I am concerned.
Well, absolutely, I understand what you're saying. And this idea of a person saying, well, we don't want your story told because it's too embarrassing for America to have that part of her history revealed, and it's going to intimidate our young white children or older white children if they hear those horrific things that we have done to Black Americans. It's not that. All children are very smart. They are able to take anything, look at TV. Anytime they can take the nonsense on TV, they can certainly take the truth of Black history. Nonsense is all over the TV, and the children soak it in. So what we have to do, and that's one of the things I'll do with the curriculum building that I'm doing from the stories that I'm presenting. I'm at day number 17 now of that story. I'm going to do a 28-day presentation on it. So I have however many more days are left here. What is it, 12 more days left of presenting where I started. I started from the very beginning of the first two humans, because we know that anthropology, archaeology, geneticists, DNA, mitochondria, all of those things show that our race origin is from Black people. We are all one race. And so that's another thing we have to make sure people internalize. It was science that came up with the lie that there are races of people. There are ethnic groups. There are nationalities. There are families and tribes. But there is only one race. Out of all of that stuff mentioned, there is one race of human beings. You know, last week, I love it how that young lady brought up, only one race. It's called the human race. Fact is, once you start talking about there are four, five, or six different races, then you bring on racism. Because if you start talking about races, then those races are going to have to be categorized, usually the category being who is the most superior, who is the least inferior. And none of those things should happen. But as soon as you put S on the word race, then you come into the problems we're facing, because somebody all of a sudden wants to be better than their fellow man. And then that leads to racism. And there's a difference between being racial and being racist. First, there is the word race. But as soon as you start dealing with separation, it is becoming racial. And as soon as that racial part of it goes to the nth degree, then it's going to become racism. So notice how that one word race, when you start dividing it among the people, you're going to become racial, and eventually you're going to become racist. And that's where we have to go back to the singular word race, and build upon that as a people, as a world people, not as separate groups, but as a world people. As long as there's separation, there is going to be division and eventually collapse.
Press 1. To hear important instructions, press 2.
Yeah, we are having a problem here, sis.
Mm.
We're having a problem with our...
To start your show now, press 1. To hear important instructions, press 2.
And we're having all kinds of... Let me see if that... Listen, we're having a problem.
Yeah.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah, we're having a problem.
Yes, that happened before when you were completely shut off. And I think it was then because of weather conditions and people just couldn't get through the waves. That's okay. Truth still goes on. The weather's not going to stay the same thing all of the time.
No, we're off the air.
Okay, darling. But it's wonderful talking with you.
Yeah.
And have you had a chance to look at the rest of the entries, beginning with day one?
Say that again, sis.
Have you been able to read the rest of the entries beginning with day one?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay. No. So what we'll do in our own separate time, I'll share more with you on the curriculum, and then hopefully next week we'll be able to be on the air again to see what others can share with us on moving ahead with our plans.
Yes, let me see. Let me just make sure. Mike, podcast, and it hasn't gone off. Mics are open. Can anyone hear our episodes? Because we are to restore it.
Greetings, Brother Bilal. I'm from Legum. And
my brother Aziz.
Bernice.
Good evening.
Yes.
I'm trying to see if we got all our connectors. I know I can hear you, and I'm thinking if I can hear you, everyone else can hear me. But I'm not for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just what kind of connections we have. But we are still on the air. They still
are. Yeah, you sound clear to me.
Yeah, we're still
and
on the air.
Sister Bernice was clear. But just now, I just came on, of course, just a minute ago.
We're on the air. It says everything is. I just sent a thing to a blog, and they said we were connected. And I'm looking up here. It says on the air, and we're fully connected. I'm looking at about 4 or 5 states. We got Virginia, we got Delaware, we got Maryland, we have D.C. So, and I got all the mics open, so if you can hear me, we welcome your comments, and this is it's an open mic night, so anyone who really just wants to join in the conversation, you're welcome to do that this evening because we're having simply an open mic. So, sis, that's something that, like I said, you educators are going to... And like I said, being that we don't have that many channels of education, we have to just use what we do have and build what we're building. Because like I said, right now we do have about five or six different states that are, and some nights we have as much as 10 or 12 different states listening in and sharing information. So it's something we can build on. Because the only way we're going to be able to tell our story is have a platform to tell it on. And so everyone that, because no, there's no doubt that, they don't want the, our success, really, and I know you look at us as African Americans, you start talking about success. But brother, when you really look at it, we've had many successes. Many, when it starts talking about economics and the economical situations that we have brought to this country, my goodness, we've had so many, but they've been all taken away from us. And usually there is no way to stop white supremacy from taking away, because, like I said, usually, unfortunately, you look back at our history and see when things were forcefully taken from us, the federal government was in on it. So the success has been there, but I mean, you started talking about, you know, I was looking at going back to the Black Belt Wall Street, with this that we created as Wall Street. I looked at that history, but after the destruction of the of the Greenwood District and white folks took over that entire city of Tulsa, then you had it, the movement of the Marcus Garvey movement started after that. And we know how successful the Marcus Garvey movement was. But again, once it became so successful, until it made a great big economic impact, African Americans would have had their independence, the federal government, other white supremacists come in and tear it down, and then what they do? They send Marcus Garvey to prison, locked the man up, and made him an exile, made him leave this country, didn't let him go back to Africa, sent him on back to Jamaica where they had control, where he would be right back into slavery, a slave condition. So so we have a history that has been a very successful history, but like I said, white supremacy have always come along. And like I said, when you say white supremacy, you can start with the federal government. So how is it not that you don't have insurrections like you did January the 6th? Because white folks really expect the federal government to be in with them when it comes to white supremacy, white supremacy movement. And their expectations look like it's not that far off. But again, that's my opinion. I don't know all the facts, but I do know. If I go back and study the history, it's a history that you can be proud of, but it's a history that you can. As an American, I suppose when it comes to those of us who go back and we know the history of the Native Americans, and especially the history of Wounded Knee, because that's where the destruction really started. But that type of destruction goes to show that anyone other than white Americans are not supposed to succeed in this country.
Bill out.
Okay, by all means, I tell you, I don't have all the answers, so by all means, all of you who are listening, the mics are open. Join in on the conversation, please.
Well, you know, I delve myself, and I've been doing it now for decades, into the various things that you're mentioning. And from my own research, and it's very deep, the present civilization, if we can use that word lightly, that we are experiencing is at its, it probably best way to put it is the last of the so-called civilizations of humans. The other civilizations have had their rise and they've had their falls. The Gentiles, as I call it, the Gentile era, is how I usually refer to the era that we've been living in, has had its opportunity to show what they can do for humanity. They are the last of the civilizations, and they are due their time. Their time has been, for the most part, not a very brotherhood type of rulership, and history shows that. And unfortunately, by setting themselves up in supremacy, that probably put them at the lower scale of brotherhood. But nevertheless, they are having their duration of time. And in the meantime, as you said, even with them being placed by themselves on a level of supremacy and having, I guess, more the right to everything at the expense of their fellow man. Speaking of us as a black people, we have prospered, and I don't mean in sense of money, because there is greater prosperity than money and material things. We have prospered above and beyond, I think, what anybody in the world would have expected a deprived people and an oppressed people to have accomplished. We know that we're on the rise. The world knows that we're on the rise. That is a threat to some, and it comes as an applause to others. Whether others are beating it down or whether others are applauding it, it doesn't matter. We are going to rise. And it's, as you can see, it's not going to be easy, because when people see that you're on the rise, regardless of their oppression, it is a threat to them. And it is a fear to them. I think the fear goes stronger than the threat. But whether it's fear or whether it's threat, we are on the rise. And we're going to face much opposition as we rise. Guess what? The opposition, no matter how great or small, is not going to matter, because we are going to prevail. I think those who are trying to push us down already know that, and will use any means necessary, in the opposite sense of our precious brother who used that word in a different way, Malcolm X. We are on the rise, and you can expect opposition as you're rising. We were on the rise when the world first started. We fell to others who wanted to rise above us. And we've gone through centuries and millennia of that happening to us. But guess what? When you are down, there is no place to go but up. But when you're up, there's no place to go but down. Unless both the up and the down come to the middle and everybody is equal. And that's what we want.
Yes.
You know, this is Brother Aziz. You know, we are the only, one of my co-workers, a Caucasian guy, a Christian, we were talking one day, and he told me, he said, you know something, Brother Shaheed, he said, there would not be any Christianity in America if it wasn't for African Americans. He said, black people. He says, my people don't follow the rules, and they don't believe in the Bible. They don't follow it. Look at what they do. And I said, wow. I said, man, it's unbelievable. And I'm telling you God's truth, what I'm saying right now. This is what an educated gentleman told me. He says, I'm just telling you the truth, man. He says, there wouldn't be no Christianity if it were for African Americans in America. They're the ones that's real Christian. He said, my people aren't. And I go to say, the reason why I brought that up, I go to say that when it comes to wanting peace and going around propagating the idea that we all should get along together, vocally in America, African Americans are the only people that has ever done that and that continually does that in helping everyone else. Because we say, yeah, equal rights. One of the first things that we got messed around on when we got the Equal Rights Bill was, oh, they thought it was, oh, not the sisters, but the white women jumped on the Equal Rights Bill and got more government contracts, got more business than black men were getting, let alone what the black sisters were getting. So this type of undermining and racist type behavior has been, systematic racism behavior has been going on from day one. Remember, Christopher Atticus wasn't a free man, he was a slave. He was supposedly the first one got killed in the American Revolution. So this type of stuff that goes on between us, what I'm trying to say is, as a God-fearing people, us African-Americans, whatever religion people we believe in, we are God-fearing people. We have a spirit to depend on Almighty God for our guidance. And whatever our belief is, treating your fellow brother and sister the way you want to be treated is one of the basic things that we should be doing as a people, and we're the one professing this and propagating this ideology. This has to go in the business also. We should do that in our business also, but we do that. We give our business to everyone else outside of our community. And unfortunately, these many, many years of slavery that our people's been through and this mentality that we got, we don't help one another like we should help one another. We don't love one another like we should love one another. And I'm not saying we all, but the majority is in that way. We have our youth. They're out there going wild today. And, you know, we got, I don't know, maybe they need business. They're spending their monies to go buy $200, $300, $400, $500 tennis shoes. You know, buying all kind of jewelry to hang on the nose, the ears, the navel, all this kind of stuff. We're living in a time wherein, and I say it again, I know this is a business program, but we're in a time that people must depend on the creator of the heavens and the earth for guidance also, and treat one another with compassion. Love one another. We start loving one another the way we're supposed to. We'll start doing business together as a black belt Wall Street did. Those people love one another. That's why they were able to do business with one another. They didn't go taking their money outside the community, not unless they had to. And that was only to bring needed resources back to the community. So I think that, you know, and looking at all of this here, this is why the New Africa Business Association is steady going and steady trying to promote businesses, bring about a unity between ourselves. And I know we're not the only group of Americans out there trying to bring black businesses together, but we're one of the many that's trying to bring businesses together, and we've seen some results from our behavior. And I think the program that we're bringing up about having our own educational format for our children, it is well overdue. And I'm glad to see that we have some momentum going towards that now, because it's much, much, much needed.
Absolutely.
It's shameful when we got a monument out there, Martin Luther King monument, and you ask many of our young who that is, I don't know, what did he do? Or any of our African-American heroes, but I just wanted to put that little bit in, you know, and I know we're supposed to be dealing with business, but I just wanted to say that there and hope it meant something to some people.
Absolutely. Brother Bynum, this is Brother Sam Harris. How you doing?
Everything
Brother Bilal, you were right on point. So I'm listening in, and just want to thank you and everybody with the New Africa Business Association for doing what they do. And there is a strong movement happening. Even though we may not see it, there are a lot of African-American men and women that are making some big moves. We have had the opportunity to engage with some amazing people that are doing it. They're not talking. They're buying property. They're buying buildings.
Yeah.
They're building big businesses. And for all the people that are still talking or wondering what's happening, you're going to look up 2 years, 5 years, or 10 years from now, and you may still be in the same position if you don't change your mindset to understand that we got to own and control the block, because without doing that, we can't get to that next generation to do some of the things that Brother Bilal was just talking about. And Brother Bynum, it's just unbelievable the opportunities that are here for African Americans. But we have to work together. We have to work together.
There's no doubt, Brother Harris. You know, I was just getting ready to comment, and I'm glad you came in because, you know, our educational department and putting our story together so the truth of our history can be told, I know that's something that I'm glad Ms. Juan is taking on, and she's building on it, and she's informing us on a weekly basis of how that's going. But at the same time, like you're saying, yes, we have our racist problems, and we've been having them for a long period of time, and we know we've lost many, many values from our past hateful experiences. But at the same time, those racist problems are still going on today. And but like Brother Harris was saying, the opportunity for business, because business is what is always businesses is what the white supremacists have always gone after us for. Because again, they know that there was a time that the Black Belt and the Black Belt districts had the money circulating in their own communities. And this went on for a period of time, and they know how much it hurt their businesses. So, again, the Black Belt, like Brother Harris has said, even though we're dealing with our racist period, we're starting to build the Black Belt again. And it's being built, just like Brother Harris said, and it's being built, and it's not being built. I know for a fact what he's talking about. And hearing from him and hearing from the rest of us, you will know what we're talking about. But black businesses are going on very strong all over this country, and it's the communications that we're giving with each other and keeping each other informed. But my thing is that, yes, we have our racist issues that are going on, but what's going to defeat all of it is when we put our Black Belt business districts back together, and because business economics is what will give you and will give us all independence. So, Brother Harris, you're absolutely right. We got to start by making certain we own.
Absolutely. You know, and Brother Bynum, you know, like in the last couple of weeks, you know, people were talking about Brian Flores in the NFL. You can't make those owners do something they don't want to do. They own those teams. But if you own the teams, then you own the narrative, and you can control what happens. So it all goes back to ownership. If you don't own it, you don't control it.
Thank you. And see, that's New Africa and Black Belt, the Black Belt district that makes up all of the Black Belt Wall Street. That's what, and that's what our emphasis are. So, Brother Harris, where are we now, and where are we? What are some of the plans? What's going on as far as the Jubilee? What information do you have to share with us?
Oh, absolutely. So the Jubilee this year will be stronger than it was for the last 2 years because of COVID. But what's going to be different about the Jubilee this year than any other year that it existed? More than 40% of the buildings that are owned downtown Selma are owned by African Americans, because over the last 2 years, our group has advocated for other groups to come to Selma and purchase the buildings and buy up the block. We happen to own the corner block at the foot of the bridge. So when people are coming to march, they're going to be marching and celebrating with African-American owners of those historic buildings. And with months and years to come, we are going to change the dynamics and have Selma become that place to where it's the gateway of opportunity for African-American excellence. So there will be lots of parades going on. We're going to be doing a live podcast at the foot of the bridge at our building, and we're going to be interviewing people coming from all over the country to let them know what we're doing in Selma, but also to get those individuals that may be from other places to see if we can forge synergies to duplicate our efforts in other places. We have a major project that we are working on sealing in Chicago, South Side Chicago, not too far from President Obama's library that he's building. So we have a lot of great things that are happening. The Black Belt District is going to be stronger than ever, but what we need is for people from our community not only to support what we're doing, but let's start your own Black Belt District where you're at. If you just need to buy a piece of land, buy a building, buy something so that you can change the dynamics in your area. So it's going to be an exciting time, and we're encouraging everyone to come on to Selma, make that pilgrimage, and make sure you stop by our buildings. We're going to be giving people tours of what we're doing so they can see for themselves, because it's no longer talk. They can see the action on the ground.
And for more information, brothers and sisters, of course, you can always call the New Africa and Black Belt Wall Street's Business Association for more information. And that number here is 301-234-9090, 202-903-7278. You can email us at the New Africa Business Association at gmail.com. Let me repeat. New Africa Business Association at gmail.com, and that business association is the New Africa and Businesses BA at gmail.com. So New Africa BA at gmail.com. Repeat, New Africa BA at gmail.com. And our website is the New Africa Business Association.com, Washington, D.C. New Africa Business Association.com, Washington, D.C. And of course, this is our membership. We need members, because in order for our broadcasting station and all the other communication stations that we have, it costs money, and our membership is what pays for to keep these features alive. So we certainly would appreciate your membership. Memberships is $50 a year, $50 to join, and then our renewable membership is $25 a year. So New Africa Business Association, .com, Washington, D.C., and just go to our membership and become a member of the New Africa of Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. And so with that said, Brother Harris, any information they need as when they get there, they can contact you after they get to Selma.
Oh, absolutely. For anybody that wants to reach us, you can just call me directly. My direct number is 813-515-3377.
And we will definitely, we think we're talking about talking, driving down, as a matter of fact. So we look forward to, but like I said, call myself, either call Brother Harris, and he will be right there because, again, they're the ones who own all of those buildings that Black Belt Wall Street has purchased in that Selma area. And the business planning that's going to be going into ownership of those businesses, and you'll see all that when you get there. So we're looking forward to March the 3rd to March the 6th, and that is the Jubilee Bridge crossing, March the 3rd through March the 6th. And so with that information, we hope to hear from you, and we hope to have your memberships. Our mics are still open. So, again, those of you, if you can hear us, we should be able to hear you. So, again, we welcome your comments. I think we got a comment coming in. Quite a repeat. If there was a comment, I would ask you to repeat. We didn't hear everything.
Brother Aziz, I want to know if Brother Harris still on.
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Brother Harris, after the event takes place, will there be any African-American businesses open on the strip there for people that maybe coming there just to see anything that's available?
Well, there will be quite a few African-American vendors that will be there that people can engage with. But on in Broad Street, what's happened in the last month, the Interpreter Center has closed down for construction. So we have been informing the community why you need to make Selma that place to build your business is because the federal government is investing $25 million into redeveloping an entire city block to bring a 300-seat civil rights movie theater. So with that being closed down, there's not much activity going on in Selma because most of the activity was right there at the museum. So that's why we need more African-Americans to come there to open businesses, because once that museum is done, you're going to have a lot of growth happening in that area. And it will be shame on us because we know well in advance what's going to happen. If we don't have at least 50 to 60% of the businesses that are there in Selma that are African-American owned, then shame on us. Because if we don't do it, other groups are going to do it for us.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff.
Yes, by all means. Brothers and sisters, again, if anyone have any comments, any questions you need to ask, our mics are open. Now's a good time for you to ask your questions or make your comments. Our mics are open. All right. Well, if not, I know we've been on for a good hour. If we, I don't see if anyone doesn't have any other comments or any questions, we're going to well, good night, because I don't have any anything on the agenda. If you don't have anything to talk about, like I said, I didn't have any special guests tonight. Tonight was an open mic. Community a chance to talk. But if the community don't talk, like you said, I ain't gonna make that assertion. You can take a horse. Not a horse.
Oh, right.
So I won't say that. But at the same
Brother Bynum, I would like to make a comment, if I may, before we go.
Right ahead.
So for the people that are in the community, if you're listening, whether you're on a podcast, you're in the car driving, or you're listening to a replay, the number one challenge that we have in our community is that we don't have people showing up, people participating,
right.
people engaging into the conversation, not one day or one week, but being consistent, being very consistent in how we engage. We need more high-growth thinking individuals to be consistently at the table on the New Africa radio show. We need you to be at your local community center. We need you to be at the development house. We need you to be at the city council. We need you to be in Selma. We need you to be engaged because we have no one to blame in the future. If we're not engaged right now, when it's the greatest time for us to build opportunity for our families and our children's children, if we can't be engaged right now under the current circumstances, it's going to be hard for us to be engaged 5 or 10 years from now because the disparity is going to be so wide that we won't be able to catch up unless we work together. So what we're asking for African-American entrepreneurs, businessmen and women alike, children, everybody within our community, we need you to develop what we call the 100X mindset. In order for the African-American community to be able to compete with the Asian community, to compete with the Hispanic community, to compete with the Caucasian community and any other groups, we have to 100X our human capital. We have to 100X our financial capital, and we have to 100X our social capital. That means that in order for us to get to where we need to be on par, just even, we have to do 100 times more than any other group in the country. And the only way that's going to happen is that we have to get a white heat, and we have to be laser beam focused on all fronts, education, healthcare, financial services, development, economic development, manufacturing, entertainment, ownership of commercial buildings, ownership of teams, ownership of intellectual technology. We need to be so laser beam focused on all fronts. We have no time to waste. We have no time to sleep because there's just so much to do. So what I would encourage anyone that hears this message, get involved. Be present. Even if you're on the road driving, I'm listening to the radio show when I'm driving because I know it's that important. If I need to say something, I'll pull over on the road to say something because it's that important. We have to get to a point where we're so committed to the cause that we can't wait till the next time that we get together so that we can begin to see progress that will make a difference and that we can make a mark that will never be erased. Thank you, Brother Bynum.
Thank you, Brother Harrison. I'm so glad you put those emphases because, like I said, this commitment of being engaged, Brother Aziz and myself, and, of course, Brother Harrison in the last couple of years, we don't come on the station just to get the recognition or some kind of popularity. No. We're very serious about what we're talking about because we all are business folks, and we know the success, and we also know the dignity of that being in business give an African American. We want to share that with the entire country because again, like I said, your freedom is your value. And if you don't think it's valuable, just think how much freedom you have. If you have no value whatsoever, where do you expect this freedom to come from? No, you're expecting for something. You're gonna have to be expecting for somebody to give you something. But no, those of you who have value, now you have ownership, and ownership is where the value is at. So, Brother Harris, thanks for those words of emphasis because it's something that that needed to be said. So, yes, we should. I know when we come on this station every week, we're serious about these conversations, and we look forward. Because why? We think something productive is going to happen in our communities if we continue to do this. So join us.
Right.
This productivity come to a reality. Brother Harris, again, Swan out there in Delaware, education. Do not get discouraged. We look for you to continue and bring those educators together. Our young folks must be taught. But in the meantime, business and entrepreneurship, that's what all of us should be striving to make ourselves very valuable and make our communities productive communities. So, again, our mics are open. If anyone have any comments or want to talk about your business, we still have time. But if no one have any comments, like I said, I'm not going to just talk just to hear myself talking. But like I said, the mics are open, and we welcome your comments. Let me go at it like that.
Unlike most sinus treatments, it provides instant relief that lasts up to 12 hours. It's powerful decongestant, not the sports, with a dual-action formula and soothes sinus by reducing swelling.
Thank you, Brother Bilal, for all of the information that's been provided. And thank Mr. Harris. Because absolutely, we've got to keep ourselves encouraged. And I see it happening in the communities. I know we all do. It's just a matter of unifying what we're all doing separately. And that's going to happen too. But as we look at the growth here in our own country and the black community, it is thriving. But now to bring all of that together into a unified state, that is going to be the grand picture. And as far as education is concerned, we can't assume that the educators are prepared for such a tremendous task. First, we have to educate the educators. We just can't tell teachers, start teaching, because the teacher cannot teach what they themselves do not know. And that is in the black community as well as in other communities where they're teaching our children. We can't ask them to teach what they don't know. And presently, they do not know. The best they do is maybe talk about 3 or 4, maybe 10 or 12 black people or black achievements that they know about. And then they'll call that teaching black history. First of all, black history is the greater part of African-American history. And in our country, generally, we teach to the best of our ability some African-American history. But we call it black history, and we have to be careful with that because we are the end part of a greater history. When you teach black history, you have to start in the, let us say, 8,000 B.C., and then you begin to move from 8,000 B.C. or earlier into 2022. And so very few people are prepared to do that. Unless they have done very deep research. And that's why I delve myself all of the time in black history, going into the BCs and what my people were doing back in the before Christ era, as we usually call it nowadays. But you've got to go into a history that goes so far back for black people and then bring yourself to the present. And the average teacher, no. They are not equipped to do that. So we have to educate the educators and then proceed with, after that, having them educate our parents, our community, our children. It's going to be a big process, but it's doable, and I'm looking forward to helping in that effort.
Well, thank you so much. Like I said, we all wear all kinds of different professional hats. To have Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, and our educational department is no exception. Our educational department is the exception. So, again, brothers and sisters, if you have any comments, So whatever your comments are, we still have time. Our mics are open, and we welcome your comments. Sounds like we are out of comments for this week, so we look forward to our continuation of our next week's show. And we will keep you informed, and we will be I'll be back with you next Wednesday then, brothers and sisters.
Yes.